Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Inspire Health Podcast. And we are actually about to embark on a new series. And we are still putting the pieces together on this because we, you know, originally we were talking about it being more around relocation, but it's much bigger than just relocating. That's going to be a piece of things that we're going to talk about. But, you know, as we've been discussing this more and more, to me, it feels like this is really centered around just new ways of being in the world, new ways of looking at being in the world, new ways of interacting, creating new systems when these old systems are really not flourishing and not really supportive.
And falling apart before our very eyes.
So I think that's going to be the central theme we're going to start to work around. And we had the opportunity a few weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, I think, we were in Costa Rica and we were exploring different areas around that. This was tying in with the concept of relocation. And we came to this amazing spot in Santa Teresa in Costa Rica. And we heard of this place called The Ark. And
what is The Ark?
What is The Ark? And so we actually got the opportunity to go and explore it. And we're going to dive into what that is. But The Ark
And thanks so much, Josie.
Yeah, this is Josie was the real estate agent who brought us up and showed us this place. And I think you guys might be really interested in this.
So as Jason and I, our two kids and grandma, and we all hopped in Josie's car because we didn't have a car at the time. So Josie was kind enough to get us into her car, packed us in, and we drove around and we explored ARC. And then we couldn't stop asking questions about it.
So the ARC is this really pioneering community, this eco-village up in Santa Teresa, Costa Rica, that is really re-looking at sustainable living. And I think in a very real way, it's not the concepts you hear sometimes around sort of a green movement or anything, it really feels very fundamentally different. And it's looking at ways of creating your own organic farming, very sustainable within the area. It's looking at how do we support our children. It's looking at how do we support our wellness and healthcare, and even around profit sharing and whatnot. So we really like the concept. And so we wanted to speak with the CEO and founder of that, who is Murat Omarov.
Well, I asked Josie, I said, who's the developer? And she said, no, not the developer. he's the founder of The Ark, but not the developer. And I want to actually dive into all of these pieces of it, because I feel like it's important in as far as how our languaging is around all this stuff.
Yes.
And how we're actually choosing different ways of even going about introducing ourselves and knowing ourselves beyond the typical labels that have been used thus far.
Yeah. So Murat, welcome to the show. And thank you so much for joining us to actually kick off this newest series that we're going to be doing.
Thank you so much for inviting me. Thank you for sharing. And it's, you know, I have done several podcasts and you're the first people with whom I'm doing the podcast who have experienced to a certain extent what is The Ark rather than talking about something theoretical. So I'm excited about this conversation. Thank you.
Awesome. Wonderful. Well, why don't we start off? I think we'll probably take this conversation wherever it organically rolls to. But I would love maybe just to give an overview from your perspective of just what The Ark is and even how this, you know, I mean, your story, you're from Kazakhstan, I think. And, you know, now you're in Costa Rica creating an eco village. I mean, there's a lot to that whole story, I think.
And it's like some people might be asking, where is Kazakhstan? And my background is in Iran. I was born in Iran, so it's not too far from Iran. But maybe you could start off there. Where is Kazakhstan, Murat?
Yeah, we are bordering with you through Caspian Sea. I actually have been to Iran. And I actually speak Farsi.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So it's like parts of the history and parts of the story. But like we're bordering you through Caspian Sea and Kazakhstan. It's like one of the post-Soviet countries. And it's the largest landlocked country in the world. We're ninth by size in the world, almost the same size as Argentina. But obviously, because it's like, you know, post-Soviet country, so like there was not much attention towards Kazakhstan and what was happening there. It's actually a thriving country. It's a young country, of course, has a lot of mineral resources and has very pretty, stable, good political situation. People live good, happy lives. I was born there in 1983, which was still Soviet Union. And then we moved straight when I was born, we moved to Belarus. So I grew up in Belarus. And then when Soviet Union collapsed, we moved back to Kazakhstan. And then my father gave me to a boarding military school when I was 14. And I know that we're going to be talking about schooling, maybe. That is like, I really love, it's going to be messy, but anyway, I really love like talking like with people. We don't call school, we call it the Center for Conscious Learning. It's called Arcadia, the place where accompanying young individuals to become fully rounded, self-aware individuals, understanding themselves as a part of a whole. And when I have conversations with parents, and I really love talking about my story personally, because like, you know, we all have this leap of faith that we want to do sometimes about our kids, but it's truly a leap of faith because the clasp of the conventional capitalistic schooling system is so strong. And then there are so many concerns and doubts, right? Like, oh, will my child be academically successful? And then when you're answering to them that they don't have to be academically successful, they're like, ah! And then they understand, like, you know, after this conversation, they understand that there is so much logic and truth, but still the fear is so strong. But then personal stories, I believe, are so relevant. And my personal story is this, like I changed 3 schools before the age of 14 because we were between Kazakhstan, Belarus, back Kazakhstan. Then at the age of 14, my father gave me to a military boarding school. And then at the age of 17, I left to Russia to the military university from which I successfully escaped when I was 20. And that's where I learned the Farsi and all of those things. And almost nothing that I did after in my adult life was connected to how my education path was made for me, because it was made for me by my father and by projections and a desire of how he was thinking my successful life should look like without asking me what do I think about success. And I'm very grateful that the life has led somehow to these individual very rebellious decisions, and part of those decisions led me to where we are today, which is Costa Rica and the Arc. So yeah, the answer went to all sides. I'm sorry for that.
I love it. So I like messy because I feel like we oftentimes avoid messy or loud, or
especially nowadays.
Yeah, we're so taught to be proper, prim, organized, clean. I mean, we see signs everywhere throughout, you know, all of Canada that we've been to, from cafes
to playgrounds
to banks,
to Ferris wheels
to clinics, like, do not be aggressive, aggression will not be tolerated, be kind, no sexist remarks, no, like, it goes down a list of all those ways in which we need to be appropriate. And so we
the thing is, even in places where, you know, I'll carousel. Ask them, like, do you get a lot of like abusive behavior at the carousel with the kids? No. It's like, well, but the sign's there.
But the conditioning is strong in a sense that it makes, I feel like all these signs continually make people second guess how they're expressing themselves and how they come across and how they're being perceived. So then they start censoring themselves even more and more and more. So there's a self-censoring that happens. There's a policing between neighbors that is happening. And then you start to just question who you are, what you need to say, and what is relevant, rather than just really expressing yourself as you need to. And then through the messiness of it all, we can sort stuff out. We can get to the bottom of things, but it comes from a place that is ultimately more genuine and more real.
Definitely. Yes. 100%. 100% agree with this. It became very polished. Everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to share too that my son, who, I mean, we started him off before Waldorf was regulated at a Waldorf school for the first 3 years of his life. And then his father and I went through a separation and a divorce. And then I ultimately couldn't afford to keep him in the private school. So then I pulled him from Waldorf into the regular public school system, which was pushing things so strongly academically for the children. And as I mentioned to you just before we started recording, in that during that period, as soon as he went into this regular conventional school system and, you know, hours of homework at the age of seven, the sparkle, the natural sparkle in his eyes started to diminish. And that has been, in my mind, the result of the conventional school system. And now he's just so stressed all the time and constantly, thankfully, reaching out to Jason, asking him what he can do to kind of rebuild and make his gut healthy again because of, you know, liver or anger imbalances in his body that he has to deal with, just sorting through life, figuring life out. And it's like, I don't think that's normal. I don't think it's normal what we put the kids through with the exams and the tests and the competition. And I don't want that for our children. And we're choosing differently. And until we find the community that calls to us, we'll figure out how to do it on our own. And it might not be perfect, but it's kind of the best we've got right now, because we as parents know our children best, and we'll take care of them best, more than anyone. And when we came across your community and we're reading about the Ark, I'm like, oh, what is Murat up to? I want to learn a little bit more about what he's doing. So please tell us, how is it like within your ARC community? You have created this this center for the children. Where does that stem from? What is the age group? And what is your goal and vision with regards to specifically the education within ARC?
Yeah, thank you. I love how you said that it's not going to be perfect, but we are going to do to the best of our abilities, right? And I believe this is what's important, because we became, like, I believe this kind of, there was this long time that we got very dormant and very comfortable with the system that was dysfunctional. But we got kind of bribed out by capitalism. That we were for a very long time, and this is the very first time in history, right? Like when the system is obviously collapsing in front of our eyes. I'm so grateful that we can talk openly about it, because sometimes on the podcast I'm like, where is the line where I can go? But I normally like to be as open as possible about that. But obviously, these are the topics that you never know how people relate, right? But honestly speaking, the more I'm talking about it, the more I see that people are like, yeah, that's like, we all relate to this and we understand that this is happening. So I believe what capitalism was for a long time doing, like in our lifetime, right? It was telling like, yeah, we're having a crisis of like ecology is suffering, like, you know, the nature is suffering. There is a mental health crisis, spiritual crisis, but we're economically winning. People are living the best they can. They're like, you know, we're like, GDP is growing, people are like living good lives, they're making money, because that was like the scarcity mindset after the Second World War, right? Like we all were like, oh, in this, like, oh, there is the war, and there is like insecurity, fight or flight, and all of those reactions. And then it's like ever growing large population, so how we're going to feed people. And eventually it happened, right, between this like 60s to 80s, there was like this kind of, oh, like now we're finally live good. And we kind of got bribed out with that. And now the first time in history when we are looking and we're saying like, actually things are not good. And now like that only stick that was saving capitalism, when like, you know, people are making good money, it's not working anymore, because people don't make good money anymore. And this money cannot buy you happiness and whatsoever. You know, the buying power of those money is not the same. And like, although the numbers are changing, right? So sorry for this. But anyway, I just love that when you mentioned that, I was like, I have to refer to it, because I believe that that's what we're doing at the ARC.
The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
UK Health Radio.
the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
We are not so not perfect at all, and this is so fine. But what we're definitely doing, we are trying to find the solution for the post-urban living. And I believe when you previously said, like, thanks to COVID, and I always also say it like this a lot, and then I'm like, ah, how people are going to react, because of course it was tragedy for many families. But on the large scale, thankfully to COVID, for the first time in history, again, we can choose where we're going to live rather than when we're forced to live in the cities, right? So like this post-urban era is coming. We all feel the calling to move back to nature. And now I believe the main question that is coming is like, how are we going to move back to nature? And if we're going to make it under the capitalistic kind of sauce with the same mindset and with the same pillars and guiding principles where money are the only driving factor, we are, I believe we're going to lose our last chance as a species. Because now we have, according to United Nations, we have 40% of our Earth, of the land on Earth, is depleted because of human actions. So if we're going to populate the sites which are like those 60% that we haven't touched yet, this is going to be catastrophical. And I personally believe that we're going to see massive exodus of people from the cities very soon, especially with AI and robots and like all of that, like kind of. Cities are going to become these control centers, with so many technology implemented, and people are going to start rapidly losing jobs. I believe the universal basic income is going to be implemented pretty soon with a very strong obedience that is going to follow that. And I believe there's going to be a lot of people who will not obey and who will want to move out somewhere. But even if people don't obey and they move out somewhere, they're running away. They're going to be running away, as we all kind of in a sense, right? Like I started the art because I, from a shock reaction where COVID got me. I was living in Tulum in Mexico back then, and I was loving Tulum with all my heart. And I saw how COVID and like this development and that capitalistic developments came and flooded Tulum and then like cutting hectares and hundreds of hectares of the jungle on building eco-conscious developments. And it hurt me so much on so many layers, because for the first time with Tulum, I felt that I was home and I was accepted and it's my home. And I realized that I could not do anything to stop what people were doing to my home. And therefore, this quest to find the land that I can find that is going to be depleted already, degraded, and that I'm going to create there an example of this future of a human settlement. And that's how the ARC was born. And coming back to the question of education, we call ourselves a regenerative village. And when we talk about regeneration, first of all, what I'm asking people to do is I'm asking people to not prostitute words, which we do as humans very well, which is like sustainability is the one, right? Like eco-village, unfortunately, is another one. Community is another one. Like when we hear those words, we go like, ah, another one. And regeneration is this new word that a lot of us are using. And I'm really asking people to stop and think, because I believe sustainability went very fast. It was a good word in a sense that United Nations were using a lot. I was in 2016 and 2017, I was director for content and events of World Expo 2017 in Astana, which was dedicated to future energy. So I was a lot in the documents and this kind of forming the agenda and what's on. And sustainability kind of lost its sense, right? Because we cannot sustain anymore the harm that humanity has done to nature and in general to human relationships, to business, to ecosystems, or whatsoever. And I believe regeneration is for the first, I'm asking people to stop and think, what does it mean? And to find synonyms in English language. And I believe these are restore, fix, repair, right? Like to bring back to life. And in general, regeneration is like to create conditions conducive to life. And this, like when we do this kind of conscious pause before using a word, I'm like, okay, so what do we believe requires regeneration in the current system, in the current world as we know it, right? And of course, we immediately come with nature, obviously, straight away, right? Like nature requires regeneration, and this is like on the surface. What else next? And people go like healthcare. Like healthcare, we have to put people back into the driver's seat of our health for us to learn to listen back to the body, to get back to grandma's remedies, because they were right? And they were like, so we got like kind of so brainwashed by pharma, right? And now like, okay, let's go back, get back to healing modalities of nature and to ancient wisdom. And yes, apply back like, you know, like all scientific advancements to this and like, you know, but we know all the answers from before. And another big axis of this regeneration, and of course I hope we're going to talk about it, is one is economy and another one is education, because from that, and that's when I want to go back to schooling and to the history of schooling, right? I believe you said you had this big series about it, and I won't occupy more of a microphone time to talk about it, how it appeared and everything, but we believe, I hope more and more people believe and understand that the current system where the world is finding itself is because of schooling. Because teacher was and still is the most underpaid profession, right, in the world. And this is first. And second, that schooling was generated to create obedient servants. And this is where I believe the projects of the future, the villages of the future, or let's say so, the villages of today that are so much needed, that's not so many, but the villages of today or this very close future, they must have educational component within them, because education cannot be separated from community. And it has to be not just like a community on paper, but like deeply entwined, where kids can see the professions in action, where kids can see the interaction in action, where kids can learn from day-to-day living, and where we don't separate anymore learning time from living time. And that's what our education access in the ARC is, and that's what Arcadia does.
We're getting so excited as we're listening to you, because this is
the same model.
It's
same
totally
idea.
Tapping into the message coming from the cosmos that we're tuning into, because what you're saying, I get goosebumps right now, is totally in line with what we've been talking about. Like, no, that doesn't quite cut it. Like, we've actually hired, and I'm so sorry to interject your story, but it's we're so aligned. It's we've actually hired, we have two girls, 8 and 9, and we hired on two teachers a couple of days a week to come in. And we have a numeracy and literacy day, and then we have solely a nature day where they go out and they do wild foraging. They actually identify different trees, different plants, medicinal uses.
Even how to make medicine from those medicinal plants.
Yeah, and listening to birds, bird sounds. They actually track animals based on the footprints that they see in the mud. They tune into the quietude of food, and really start to listen more deeply to it. And I'm listening to my own.
That's amazing.
As well, but it's all these things that you're speaking of that I feel like if we really tune into what's needed, it's not just Murat, it's not just Jason and Taya on Inspire Health Podcast. It's really a message coming from the ethers, from this higher benevolence that is informing us of what it is that is going to be most supportive for our children, our planet, ourselves, of each other within this community. And I feel like this is what totally got us stoked when we came across the ARC and we learned more about you.
Well, it's in resonance. It's all got a very similar resonance to it. And then we kind of do our own unique, whatever our personal instructions are calling us to do, you start to create in your little pockets. And then we get to like interact and we, you know, meet each other and then brainstorm and come up with new ideas and get more excited about stuff. I mean, I love that you use the term regenerative, because to me, it's like, that's how I think about medicine when we work with people. It's because when you think about regenerative, it means that you have to recognize an inherent capacity on your own that then most of the time you just got to get out of the way. Nature to kind of take its course more and support. So you're more supportive rather than really trying to fix anything. I think you're more just creating optimal environments, whether that's to heal the land, whether that's to heal your body, whether that's to create an optimal environment to educate our kids in the best capacity that we can. It's how do we become stewards of all of that stuff?
100%. And this is we definitely speak the same language. And I 100% agree that it is not, I love to go as esoteric as possible about it, because that's how I feel we have to be, and it's totally normal. And I believe it's not us who are doing this. And I really love how you said it. It's not like, it's not me who are doing it. It's not you who are doing it, right? Like, if we believe that everything is the universe and we're just physical representation of it, I believe that there is a massive shift that is happening, that is through us. The universe is acting through us as physical representation of it, and the time just has come, and we are just those, the agents of change. And there are so many of us. I honestly was surprised, and I'm still getting surprised, but like, I'm like, yeah, like majority of the people that I know, they're now the agents of change. And that's why the system that is unnatural that is now is falling apart, because it was built on greed and fear and all those emotions and low vibrations and energy. And the love is, as the moving force of the universe, is just now so strong that I believe we all are feeling it, and we're acting from that knowledge. And everything, and I go very brave sometimes about these conversations, and I believe that the civilization as we know it is falling apart, and we are in this inverse point when it actually fell apart with COVID, when, like, you know, for me, it was, the message was so clear, and I don't know why, and I don't want to say that it was some sort of inspiration or something. I also don't believe in aha moments. I believe it's the constant growth of the idea and the something. So during COVID, for me, I was like, that's it. We are kind of, this is not going to be better. This is not going, we're never going to get back to normal, whatever this campaign was. Remember, we get back to normality and whatsoever, because I believe those powers, they kind of understood. They're like, oh my God, we have to bring back people into the saddle because there are too many free thinkers now. Let's get back to normal. And I was shocked. I remember when I came to Europe, and I don't remember which city I was, and almost every bus station had this social ad of coming back to normality. And I was like, wow, they're really trying to create this. And it worked, right? Like in 22, remember when they were like, oh, the governments were like, you can travel now, everything is good. A lot of my friends personally as well, they just kind of forgot. And people got this amnesia of like how they were violated for long 2 years. People just like, oh, we can travel again. Let's go. It's a summer in Europe. And I was like, guys, really? Is that what it took? And now, thankfully, I see that it's like this kind of pendant is coming back, because people are like, and look what it took, right? It took now like a lot of geopolitical like wars and geopolitical serious shifts. And unfortunately, they're going to be happening more and more. And I believe at the same time, I really don't want to come across as a doomsday seller kind of person. But I believe this inverse point when the civilization has collapsed, but at the same time, we're building the new civilization. And the projects like, I want to think that projects like the Ark, they are the bridges through this inverse point, where we can safely walk to something new and together. When I started thinking about the Ark, I was like, I have to create a space where we're going to gather all these people who like, you know, free thinkers and people who don't feed with their energy the past, but rather invest it into the future. And we are going to create this kind of safe haven from which we're going to bring a positive change to the world together. And that was the very idea from the very beginning, that I was like, that's what I'm creating. I didn't know how. I didn't know what's going to be the format. I was definitely not thinking about 200 acres land. That came later on. I was thinking of something small, and I was like, you know, my community was falling apart. We were all living from Tulum. We were all kind of scarce, like understanding where we're going. We didn't know what to do. And then it all evolved into that. And I believe, yeah, we all feel it. And this is, again, the obligation of companions. We call people companions and not teachers in Arcadia. I believe this is the obligation of companions, is to this. We all have this internal voice, like you said about your son, right? The moment you've seen this spark in the eyes, and the moment it went through schooling, it like kind of dimmed down. I felt it on me myself as well. I don't like to put labels of like, oh, I have an ADHD. I don't like to do that. I think I know that I'm a very active person. My mind can be multitasking on so many layers. I know that my mind very easy winds off. And that's what teachers identified as like Marat being very smart kid, but very non-attentive. And what they tried to kind of bring me in more. Where they technically had to take advantage of this ability and be like, hey, go and multitask, right? And like, see like how it's going to be like, you know, absorb the intensity of the world. And my personal fantasy and dreaming, they're like, oh, he always dreams. He's always dreaming. I'm like, you are preventing me from dreaming. But honestly, dreaming took me here. And I'm, because I was dreaming, I was always writing novels, and my mom still keeps them. And then I remember when I was giving to the military school, I was still writing the novels, but less and less and less, because that system, that's what I believe you saw with your son, right? It's just like schooling kind of gets like, it becomes like the list of tasks that you are kind of cannot handle anymore. And you're like, oh, okay, I have to do this thing. And that's where it's preparing you for, right?
The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job. She was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy. But every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
And I believe the only task and obligation of the companions, and that's what Arcadia co-founders are sharing, of course, as well, and that's what we stand for, is to not to transmit the programming and conditioning and to not to obstruct the spark and the wisdom that universe has produced in this little human being. They know, right? It's everything is already there. I'm a big adept and I don't understand how we as humans figured it out, like astrology and human design and gene keys. And I really love this because, like, by a simple data with like where you were born and what time you were born, you can get so much information. I'm like, guys, we already cracked the code. We're like, we know. It's like because you read and you resonate so much with it. And this is it. The universe has brought you, because nothing is random here. The universe has brought you in this physical realm with a certain idea. And the only job of a school is not to take you away and to help you identify this and to instill this very strong in you, so that when you're going to go out of this institution, you're going to be like, I know why I came to this world.
Yeah, there's so much that there's so much to unpack there. So you talked about, you know, the diagnosis of intensity that is able to kind of withstand the intensity of this world. And I'm thinking, wow, there are so many kids that are supposedly coming in with this disorder, but it really speaks to our world, doesn't it? And as far as what it is that the kids are coming actually in equipped with in order to withstand, and not only withstand, but actually thrive within our world, because there is so much. Like I know on certain days I'm hit, you know, with enough LED lights and sounds and blasts with the construction going on around. And I just feel overwhelmed and I just want to shut my eyes for a few hours and just check out, because it just becomes so overwhelming in my system. But the kids that are coming in and do have the instructions already built into their system, they're able to withstand all of these hits much more better than we are. Because frankly, it's like Khalil Gibran said when he said, the children are not our own, but a world longing for itself. It is essentially that. The kids are coming in with their own set of instructions and they know what has to get done. And when I witness the intensity within one of our girls in particular, I know that she's going to be accomplishing so much within our world, because she has come in with so much fierceness that is oftentimes topples us over. But it's like, it's that level of intensity and that quality that is ultimately going to be needed in some way.
Exactly.
In our world.
And a lot of those things, like even when you had mentioned, you know, with diagnoses like ADHD and stuff, and it also shows you how far we've moved from being in alignment with nature, because a lot of that stuff is very useful in nature. Yeah. You know, yeah. You need to have ability to see lots of what's going on at a time and pick up on all sorts of different things that maybe when you're in a really refined environment is overwhelming, but in the right environment, that can be really, really powerful asset for them. So
it maybe actually goes to say that we're not built to actually sit in cubicles all day from 9 to 5. So, I mean, there's nothing wrong with a person if they can't withstand that level of futility within their life. And please don't take this personally. I feel like sometimes when we talk about schools and we talk about the inability of the school system or the teachers to really meet our children, our wonderful, lovely fellow family members or friends who are in that capacity might take it personally, but please, that's not the case. There's some really wonderful and gifted teachers, doctors, government officials and what have you, and all sorts of different professions, but it's speaking to the systems in themselves.
I agree with you 100%, and I believe, yeah, people shall not be taking personally, because there is nothing personal in this. And they've actually, I don't know, maybe you spoke with people from educational space, and they are also, they're depressed, right? And they're like, also from healthcare and from education, doctors, they're saying now that the report that they spend more time on like covering themselves legally and filling up the reports rather than talking with their patients. And it's not because doctors are saying, it's not that doctors are bad, right? We're not saying, hey, doctors are bad. No, they're victims of the same system, exactly as you said, right? And the same with teachers. So yeah, it's just, and at the same time, I really love how you refer about your daughter, because it's like not to stand in the way, because that is going to be needed so much, and we still don't understand where, and it's not our job to understand, honestly, right? It's our job is not to just to let, there is already a miracle that has happened. Just like, you know, let this miracle thrive further, and we are just there to physically protect this miracle from, and to guide, yeah, like, hey, the fire is actually hot. You want to touch it? Go touch it. But it's hot. It's like, you're going to burn yourself. Oh, you burned yourself. Hey, I told you. But it's totally fine. It's all fine. You know, now you know. And this is like, you know, that just like, they don't just fall off the cliff, right? And like, you know, go. But that they learn and that they understand through their own experience. And yeah, we don't know where it's going to. I like to see it also that, not to blame, and like, you know, like you're saying now, there are so many people in the system, but not to also to take away the weight of blaming and of guilt, because again, it was all needed for something. It's all happening the way it's supposed to be happening, right? And it's just like the fact that you and I and many other people are now have an awareness about what is going on, and they're acting from this awareness, is actually also a plan, this universal plan that is unfolding, right? And that the fact that there are many people who are not yet in this awareness, there is also a universal plan about it. And us acting fiercely and us being more open about it and talking without fear and acting without fear and being in love, I believe is also part of that. And those people potentially gonna see this episode in a year from now, and they're gonna be like, you know what, this makes total sense. And it's gonna be a wake up call.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, we were saying earlier that it's not just Marat or Jason or Taya tuning into that collective consciousness, that stream of intelligence that is ultimately informing us to make different decisions. But at the same time, us putting up this message, just as you said, is also informing people that Yes, Marat is doing it. Yes, Jason is doing it. Yes, Taya is doing it. And you are needed too. And you are also hopefully feeling inspired by this conversation, by this discussion, to maybe make that challenging decision or have that discussion with your parents or with your child, or make that hard transition that you really been wanting to but have been fearful of making, but really find your own voice and find your own calling and your own heart's yearning and start to pay closer attention to that and function from that place, because ultimately we're all being called in different ways within our capacity to wake up to what is ultimately needed in our world.
I 100% agree. And I want to also share an interesting example, like when you know, I was telling you like last Thursday, thank you for moving the, because I started feeling not very well and I'm still a little bit under the water. And I was talking to, I had a conversation with our marketing person just before this. And I was like, I'm not still feeling well. She's like, you have to cancel the podcast. I'm like, no, like we moved it once. I don't feel well about it. And she's like, look, like we have to like transmit this into how many sales is this is going to make. And I'm like, but that's not why I'm doing this podcast, because I'm using the ARC as a platform to deliver the message rather than platform to bring people to buy land. For me, like, you know, in the end of the day, this is not why I'm doing the ARC. For me, it was never about it. And this is like, this I can totally relate to your message, right? It's like the fact that somebody came into awareness, then it's our obligation, I believe, is to start building up from that awareness and to create and to just raise the voice and, like, you know, to bring more people in and to just like be in a living example of to walk the talk.
Mm-hmm. Marat, you said something really important there too, because when just in that little story where you're talking about the marketing manager was kind of bringing it back, when we talk about these systems, because we've had a similar conversation around this, it's like when these old systems have been running for a long time, and that's really everybody's kind of just backdrop, and even a lot of people you work with, that's still their backdrop, because like you said, we're in this bridging time where we're, you know, these new systems are evolving. We're in many ways, I think we are creating new systems in new ways that we don't even know exactly what they're going to be like, while we're still kind of bridging from these old systems. When you're in the process of creating everything with the ARC, what do you feel like you need to be really well aware of so that these old systems don't start to just trickle in? Because, you know, I've seen different sustainable, you know, quote unquote sustainable communities that I think even have a good intention. But at a certain point, it seems like these old systems find a way to get their tentacles back in, and then it becomes this same old thing. What do we need to be aware of to really, like, self-check? You know, how do we self-check as we keep creating?
As we even keep purifying the energy of the money, you know? That is work in progress at this time, too.
This comes to the end of our time for this episode. Please go to inspirehealthpodcast.com and listen to the remainder of this important episode. Thank you so much.